Welcome in to the Autzen Audibles podcast. Matt Preem, Eric Scopel on this Wednesday, April 10th. Nice, beautiful day. Spring has finally arrived in Eugene. The weather is warm. The weather is dry-ish. And spring football's here. And with that comes some uncertainty, some unexpected changes. Carlos Lachlan leaves the program as a running backs coach. There's no breaking news. And now we have a replacement has been hired. Rashad Samples, previously from Arizona State. So Dan Lanning goes to his good friend Kenny Dillingham and plucks his receivers coach away, who will coach running backs at Oregon. That's an interesting note. But Samples is someone that has a background playing the position, coaching the position at other spots, has NFL history. I think first and foremost there, like, the resumes prior to their arrival to Oregon, like, Samples has the better resume. And that's not to say that Lachlan was a bad coach. We're not saying that. But this is a more established coach than what Lachlan was prior to his time at Oregon. And I think that, you know, that's maybe one way to look at this hire. And I like the fact that he's got NFL experience. I like the fact that he's coached at multiple stylistic types of teams. Sonny Dykes tree, he's coached in the Sean McVay NFL tree, he's in the Dillingham tree now, so he's got a lot of experience working with a whole bunch of different types of offenses. I really like that.
And to your point on the resumes between Lachlan and Samples, it's impressive that, and I would agree that Samples has had the more impressive resume entering the job, in part because, like, I don't know how old Lachlan is, but Samples is 29 years old.
Yes.
I got to think Lachlan's at least 10 years older than him or very close to that. This is a guy who's an up and comer. I kind of wrote about this on the site. You know, this hire to me aligns with a lot of the recent hires by Dan Lanning, where he's gone kind of with the youth movement, gone after up and comers, guys that have kind of, you know, risen up the coaching rungs at a fast pace. And I think that makes sense because it almost feels like Dan's hiring people that are similar to him or have similar aspirations and similar goals and approaches to get there. And you know, it doesn't surprise me at all that he took a coach from Kenny Dillingham, who we've obviously established his work with Dan before, and as somebody who also, I think, was, I would say, very aggressive in how they pursued rising up the coaching ranks, trying to become, you know, for Kenny, a head coach at, like, under 33 years old, for Dan, a head coach at like 35, 36. Samples is somebody, I'm not sure he's on his way to being a head coach yet, just because he's only been a position coach for a handful of years, but he's 29 years old, right? This is very similar to Alik Terry, who they brought in. Also somebody who had kind of some interesting, you know, coaching history, had been a player pretty recently, had both players, by the way, forced to retire medically and then kind of focused on coaching while undergrads in college. Kenny Dillingham, also kind of similar thing, where he didn't play college football. He was focusing on this at a very young age while still an undergrad. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And then the resume, I think, is really impressive. I'll run through a couple of the touchdowns here. But, you know, he retires from football in 17 while at the University of Houston. He's a student coach, assistant for a couple of years there, ends up at Texas for a year, where he ends up working alongside Drew Maringer and I think Will Stein briefly before he takes off to SMU, where he spends 3 years there. That's the longest stop he's had to this date. And notably, by the time he left, he was an assistant head coach at 25 years old. So, I mean, these are impressive touchdowns. From there, he goes to the NFL. He works, as you said, Matt, with the Los Angeles Rams under Sean McVay, who I think I would say, along with Kyle Shanahan, are seen as the two brightest minds in all of football, whether it be college or NFL, offensively especially, and works with him for a year as a running backs coach. And, you know, Kyren Williams, who had a breakout year for the Rams this past season, I think people have given a lot of credit to Rashad for getting him ready to have that season, even though he wasn't on staff with him in 23. And then, as we've obviously established, he was with the Sun Devils working with Kenny Dillingham last year. So this is a guy who, not that long ago, was like a student assistant at a school that he was forced to medically retire at. And now you look up and he is the running backs coach at a program like Oregon, which obviously has really, really high aspirations. So, again, kind of fits that under 30 fast riser, trying to make some things happen, has already accomplished a lot. And there's a bunch of other things to like, Matt, but I just think you look at this staff now, and especially the offensive group, it's like, aside from, I guess Drew Mehringer is the, or Junior Adams, I guess, is the oldest guy on that group, right? He's probably mid or I don't know. How old is Junior, do you think? Is he late 30s?
Late 40s.
Late 40s, you think? Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think because the other guys are all in that, you know, late 20s to early 30s kind of range from a coaching
perspective. Maybe mid 40s. He's got kids and a family and
gray hair in his beard.
Yeah. So he's older. But I mean, look, I'm 30. How old am I? I'm 37 and I'm starting to get gray hairs. So it's not a 40 plus thing anymore.
And we also know that's a high stress job. So maybe he's a little younger anyway. But like, aside from Junior, my point was going to be like, Alik Terry is less than 30 years old. Yeah. You've got a running backs coach who's less than 30 years old. You have a tight ends coach and Drew Mehringer, who, despite having been at this for a long time, is I think about 35. And you've got Will Stein, who's leading this whole thing as the quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator, who himself is, I think, 34. So, you know, this is a really young operation, but I like that a lot of these guys have worked together, whether it be at Oregon or at Pass Stops. And I like the fact that, like, it seems like you kind of just have a bunch of, you know, kind of like it's like an incubator for young college football offensive minds to work together. So we got an answer.
45.
45. So right there, mid 40s. Go ahead.
To touch on what you were going on, though, I feel like the last couple times Dan has spoken, and this is maybe getting a little bit away from what specifically talking about samples, but the last couple times Dan has spoken and he's talked about staffs and he's talked about the organization, as he likes to call it, he's mentioned a few times how they want to groom coaches and have guys come in for bigger role, eventually be ready for bigger roles. And I just wonder if part of the design process of hiring some of these younger coaches, like a Samples, is thinking big picture of, hey, we're probably going to lose Will Stein. We, as in this is Dan Lanning talking, we're probably going to lose Will Stein in 2 or 3 years to become a future head coach at some other school. Let's bring in a young position coach, and maybe he develops an acumen. Maybe he develops a chemistry and understanding of the ability to replace Stein as OC down the road. I don't know. I look at some of these hires. It mostly goes with the analysts bumping up to the position coach. But I do wonder if maybe he's building up just as much of a roster building of your players. I wonder if he's building like a collection of young guys, and ultimately 2 or 3 or 4 of those guys over the course of 6 or 7, 8 years will develop themselves and be promoted to a co-OC or a full-time OC job within the program before they leave to be a head coach somewhere.
I think there's a lot of merit to that being the case, especially when you think about how Dan seems to operate with contingency plans, because, you know, I think Jared and I were on a podcast last week reacting to Carlos Laughlin going to Ohio State. And we were kind of going back and forth on, well, how quickly do we expect this hire to be made? And Dan made it clear, like, oh, we could make it all the way through April without hiring our coach. But he also said, you know, he's kind of got a list of names that they were looking at. And it doesn't surprise me at all they got this done in a week, because I think Dan is always kind of thinking about, okay, what could happen? What could be an outcome that I would need to have a reaction to? And I think it was really telling that, you know, they lose Carlos Laughlin, and again, like basically 1 week to the day, they've got their own replacement in house. And we should note Rashad Samples was at Tuesday's practice. He will be here for the rest of spring. He is a Duck. They announced that shortly before practice began on Tuesday, and so we do have some comments from Dan kind of discussing this decision. But I think he's always thinking, you know, a couple steps ahead of, okay, like, yeah, if it's, I think he knows Will Stein's a really talented play caller and a really, you know, exciting young coach. And Matt, it could be 2 or 3 years. It could be after this year that he, you know, has a, you know, maybe the offense takes another step. They compete for a Big Ten championship, maybe a national championship. Those are the goals. And maybe he takes a job back somewhere in Big 12 country. Maybe he fills a job. Maybe one of those Kansas coaches, Kansas and Kansas State have two coaches that every school seems to be talking about hiring. Maybe one of those guys goes somewhere else, and maybe Will replaces them or something. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing out a hypothetical. And to your point, now he can look at his staff and go, hey, Junior Adams has been with me the whole way. Could that be someone to promote? Yep. Or what if like a Rashad Samples or a Leak Terry or a Drew Maringer, who even actually already has play calling experience, I think from his time at like Rutgers a couple of years ago, like maybe one of those guys is just a promotion away. So I do think there's definitely merit to developing.
It's also twofold of, I mean, I hadn't thought of this until you mentioned it, but Junior's talked about, he wants to be a head coach someday. He wants to be a full-time play caller. Maybe, I mean, and this is, we're getting way too far down the rabbit hole here, but
correct, yeah.
You know, Samples has history coaching receivers. He has history of coaching and playing running back room. Maybe this is a move. Hey, we really like Samples as a coach first. Who cares about what position he is? He's coaching because he can do it. He can be solid at running back. He can be solid at receiver, whatever. He's got history doing both. Let's get him on staff because we anticipate someone on staff ahead of him leaving and he can fill a job. And we can go out and hire another coach, another young guy to take the spot that's now been double vacated. I don't know. I just think that there's something here where landing is always, and you brought it up, there's always contingency plans. And I think this is a really good hire from replacing Carlos Lachlan, a guy that, look, like the reality is he was really good. And I know some Duck fans want to just stop, you know, step all over his name and he wasn't good. Get him out of here. And look, like I didn't agree with how he handled media interviews. It was all a lot about him and about not about the players, but he was still really good at what he did.
Absolutely.
And he was a really good recruiter. He had ties to a lot of players on this team, and Samples steps into a role now that he has big shoes to fill. And quite honestly, like, look, we were watching the last couple practices for a couple guys to see if they showed up to practice, because there were rumors of maybe some players were going to depart following Carlos Lachlan's departure. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. It seems like all the emotions have kind of leveled out. Guys have bought into the Samples hire. They're here. Those first couple days are always tricky to maneuver when a position coach or a head coach leaves. They're very emotional for guys because a lot of these players came to play for Carlos Lachlan. And now Samples steps into a role with big shoes to fill, but one I think he will fill in nicely. And to Dan's point, like, it's an opportunity to get better. I think they will end up being better with Samples, you know, but that's to be proven. I mean, I think that's going to happen, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. And it's interesting with Samples, just kind of looking through his career resume, you know, he's yet to coach a 1,000-yard rusher. And again, it's such a small sample size of what he's done. And the year where he probably would have coached a 1,000-yard rusher was in 2020, which was the COVID year. And he was at SMU. And I think it's Ulysses Bentley IV, which is quite the name, by the way, ran for 900-something yards in 10 games. So, if you figure if they're playing a 12-game season, he gets there. But you know, this isn't somebody who you look at and go like, oh, you can point to X, Y, and Z of guys who developed big time NFL backs. Like, there isn't quite that history there. To be frank, Carlos Lachlan didn't arrive really with that history. I know he had ties to some guys at Memphis, but I think that was in like kind of like an assistant coaching role as opposed to like an actually even a running back coaching role. He was like around the guys as opposed to being the running backs coach. So it doesn't mean he can't develop running backs, but it's been kind of, to this point, he's not somebody who's necessarily proven he has done so, you know, directly when the player's there. Because I mentioned Kyren Williams with the Rams, who I know some people gave him a lot of credit for that 1 year where he was kind of waiting in the wings for his opportunity and then sprung in 23 with like 1,200 yards and a breakout season. So I'm curious there. I think the recruiting stuff will be really interesting to track because
100%.
This is a guy with incredible ties to the DFW area. That's Dallas-Fort Worth, which is, I don't know, one of the three or four biggest hotbeds for recruiting in the country. It's up there with Los Angeles. It's up there with, a bunch of other places.
Florida, that, Georgia.
Yeah, there you go. Atlanta. I was trying to figure out where in Georgia or in Florida you would want to point to, whether it be Miami or Tampa or whatever. But like you're looking at a guy who comes from that area. He played at Skyline, which is a perennial power there. His dad is the head coach at Duncanville, which is another big time one. And to Matt's point, yeah, maybe speak on that, but there's a big time receiver recruit who comes out of that high school, which Oregon was already considered one of the favorites for In 25. Matt, go ahead and just kind of briefly. Maybe he plays a role with that recruit.
Samples' dad's the head coach at Duncanville High School, and that's the high school that Takarian Moore, the five-star receiver in the country, the number one receiver in the country, the number four player overall in the country, plays for. He's committed to LSU, but even before Samples is higher, Oregon was viewed as one of, it's not the school, but one of the schools that's in a position to potentially flip him and change his commitment. He's been out to Eugene. He's expected to visit Eugene again this offseason, this spring / summer, potentially even again in the fall. Having the high school head coach's son on your staff is probably going to be a unique situation, a trump card that Oregon could play. We'll see how big of a factor that is. But it's not just, hey, let's hire Rashad Samples and let's try and flip to carry him more. Like, that Oregon did not make that hire for one recruit. They didn't make that hire for specifically just recruiting. Like, Lanning is all in on coaches' development and relationships, he talks about, but recruiting is also part of it. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Oregon went out and enhanced its ties in the state of Texas. They already have Drew Mehringer. They already have Will Stein. We know Dan Lanning's got a good reputation in Oregon, and now Samples. So that's about four coaches who have deep ties in the state, or good ties in the state with recruiting. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the state of Texas in the 2025 recruiting class, it leads the states. It leads all the states with the most offers. 52 offers right now in the 2025 class have gone out to prospects within the state of Texas. Now, it's not all DFW area, like you said, but it's across the state. But Oregon's enhancing its ties there. They're building out its relationship, they're strengthening its pipeline, and it's very clearly an area that they are heavily focused in 2025. And then I went and looked at 2026, and they've already got 26 offers there in that class. So Oregon is, they're already becoming more of a consistent player in that state. And it's only going to get even stronger with Samples' connections and the people that he knows and the relationships that he has with prospects across the country, across the state. It's not going to be a surprise that, you know, like, he's from San Antonio, but Michael Terry III is the number one athlete in the country. Oregon likes him at receiver, big body receiver. He's coming out for an official visit next month. He's really tight with Will Stein, and Oregon added a coach that's got receiver history and is from the state as well. So, I think this move is going to help on the field, and then off it from a recruiting standpoint. It's going to be a pretty significant move to, A, bring talent to Oregon, but then, B, also continue to enhance their presence in the state of Texas, which is a must-do.
And you think back to Oregon historically when they've, I don't know, want to say at their best, but some of the better teams Oregon has had have been focused around players from the Lone Star State. Obviously, mm-hmm. the Darren Thomas, Michael James pairing, Josh Huff was a part of some of those teams, Braylon Addison. There's a ton of names from that era that were from that state. And even recently, there have been obviously a ton of players. I mean, like, this year's team, Evan Stewart, is a name that will probably be one of the names to know on offense, and he hails from there. So absolutely an important pipeline. And then just a couple thoughts here on Samples. It was kind of interesting talking to Dan post-Tuesday practice. That was obviously Samples' first time working with the Ducks. I imagine he arrived probably sometime on Monday night or something, or maybe even got there early Tuesday. I don't know. Just based upon kind of when all this information came together, Matt Zenitz, of course, from our Matt Zenitz, we should say, from 24/7 Sports, friend of the podcast, been on a couple times. Yep. He broke that news kind of late Sunday. And we're just kind of waiting for it to become official before Tuesday's practice. But Dan did sort of indicate, I thought it was kind of fun, the fact that this is similar to when you bring in a true freshman or a transfer from another school, where Samples, he said, is having to learn the plays. He's having to learn the playbook. He was watching, he said, I think, install cut-ups on the flight up. And, you know, I think Dan's quote was something about, it's going to be a lot of early mornings and late nights in the HDC for Rashad to get caught up. But, you know, again, this goes back to the timing of the fact that you're in spring practice. And typically you'd hire a guy and he'd have a couple of months before spring to to fully learn the playbook, to meet with his fellow offensive coaches, to maybe spend, you know, a bunch of extra time with Will. And we're in the middle of spring here, and Will's kind of got other things to work on, you know, with his quarterbacks and making sure that room's right. And so Rashad's going to have to do some real heavy lifting here to get caught up. But I don't think there's any question. And Dan was obviously very confident that this is a guy who gets football. And as you said, Matt, has worked for McVay. He's worked for Dillingham. He's worked for Sonny Dykes. These are, you know, he's worked for alongside Will Stein at Texas. You know, he's Tom Herman, I think, might have been at Texas around that time. Like, he's been around some of the better, you know, names in college football. And I don't have any questions. He'll pick all of this up. But it is an interesting dynamic where I think Dan did say, like, the fact that the running backs know the offense so well is going to help the coach, because they'll be able to kind of teach him a little bit. So a little bit of the inverse here for the first couple of weeks here while Rashad gets comfortable with everything.
And it does sound like we are going to get Rashad samples in the media scrum here in the next week or two.
Okay.
He's going to slide right into the spot that Carlos Lachlan was going to have before he departed. So it doesn't really mess up any the interview flow from our perspective, peeling back the onion there a little bit, showing you the work. But we should be speaking with Rashad samples here in the next week or two before the spring game, it sounds like. But I think overall, it's an interesting hire. It's a good hire. It's one that has a high ceiling. I think it's another young assistant coach, and one in which Oregon feels that, you know, they're going to be better off from where they were. And that's not a slight at Carlos Lachlan. It's just the confidence that they've made. And if you're an Oregon head coach, Dan Lanning, or if you're an Oregon fan and you look at Lanning's track record of hiring coaches, you know, he really, I guess, you know, knock on wood right now, like, hasn't had a dud. Like, every guy he's hired seems to be a pretty impressive hire. And this is the latest one that we'll have to wait and see if it plays out that way.
Yeah. And one way to look at it is, you think about now, Matt, you go back to the original hires and the original staff, but the hires he's made now, kind of after that original staff, after there's been departures, we'll kind of wait and see how Mike Olowski and samples work. But last year, I mean, Chris Hampton is somebody that I think they're so high on. I think they see him as somebody who, if, again, Tosh Lupoi — we talked about the contingency of an offense — but if Tosh Lupoi, something were to happen there, I think they would immediately probably promote Chris Hampton, who's already the co-DC. And I just, speaking with people, it sounds like they love this guy. They think so highly of him. And then Alik Terry, what a job he did last year with that offensive line, where so many new faces and trying to get everything integrated, relying on some first-time starters. And they go out there and have one of maybe the two or three best offensive line seasons in program history. They're a Joe Moore Award finalist. Like, those are two absolute hits. And so I'm with you where I think Mike Olowski, who, again, we will speak with him, I imagine, sometime in the next week or two, for the first time since he's been promoted from an analyst perspective to a linebackers coach. But I would think that's somebody that Dan obviously has a ton of trust in. And the fact that, again, samples comes in and he's worked with two of the guys on the offensive staff, you know, extensively in the past, like, I think there's a lot of confidence that they made the right hires here. And it's going to be very exciting to see how this plays out. I'm going to be curious to watch the running backs and kind of the development there. And, you know, one of the stats that really stood out to me when Lachlan was here was just one fumble loss by a running back over two seasons. Like, that's really
impressive.
Really impressive. I've cited that one a couple of times. That's going to be probably hard to replicate, but I don't expect the running back room to take a step back at all. And with the talent that's here, I know it's post-Bucky era. I wouldn't be surprised at all if this is a year that's just as impressive as the past couple with the players on this roster and just the way the rest of the offense is shaping up. Like, I think this pass game is going to be awesome. Dylan Gabriel, we should note, we spoke with him after Tuesday's practice. Tuesday was just full of stuff. We had, you know, Tony Tuioti and Tatum Tuioti and Mateo Uyunglele, and we had Dylan Gabriel, we had Dan Lanning, so much going on. But, you know, just kind of broadly, this offense sounds really exciting. I wish we had more information from what we saw in practice, because we don't really have anything to say other than they are practicing and they are going through drills. But just all the kind of buzz right now is really positive, and I think should get you fired up if you're an Oregon fan. And I don't think this coaching change for a second should be something that causes you to kind of second guess expectations.
Real quick. We saw this with Alik Terry when he got hired. Dan Lanning went out and hired Mike Kavanaugh. a long time college coach to serve as an analyst and help with Elite Terry. I wonder if they do something similar at the running back position. Go find another name out there just to, you know, or is that a position where you don't need it? And is the Kavanaugh hire, was that because, you know, the previous coaching staff, they had multiple guys. They had analysts helping the offensive line, and the position just requires it. The running backs, there's not as many. Only one of them, maybe two of them, are on the field at the same time, so you don't have to have as many eyes coaching on the field at one point. I don't know, maybe they go out and they add an additional guy to the staff to help the running back room, because his history of coaching the running backs is limited, but he's definitely, I mean, he's been in the NFL, and that is a strong, you know, tie to his resume. But I'm just curious if maybe we see some enhancements to the staff as well with some help around him.
I hadn't thought of that, Matt. That could be something they do. I mean, I think the fact that they didn't have already a assistant running back coach on staff, because when Carlos Laughlin took off, we were like, Koakai and Jack Smith. I had no idea these were guys that coached running backs. So maybe not, but I mean, it would make sense if there was a veteran guy who's available. I mean, obviously my brain went to Gary Campbell, but I would be absolutely floored if he comes out of retirement just to help out. You know, but there are certainly maybe some names that would make sense. And to your point as well, like, you know, there are 20 plus offensive linemen on the roster. There's like five running backs. Maybe you don't need quite as much. But if there is somebody out there that they think can kind of help mentor Rashad along, I wouldn't be surprised if that's an avenue they take, because as you said, they did kind of take that with Elite. And for those questioning if that was the plan, I haven't spoken with Elite Terry. Like, yeah, Dan wanted to bring in a veteran coach if he was going to bring in a sub 30-year-old assistant who'd, in Elite's case, really never done this before. It only done it a couple of years. So I don't know if there'll be the same parallels, but that's certainly kind of a question to kind of track here maybe over the next couple of weeks as we get through spring.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on this edition of the Odds and Audibles podcast. Thank you for listening to the show. We'll be back later this week with some more information regarding spring football. And who knows, there might be some basketball news to talk about as well for the men and the women. But until then, you've been listening to the Odds and Audibles podcast.
Talk to you later, folks.